Who is this? That's the question of the gospel, and that question is put to all of us. Who is this? We know when we go back into the Old Testament, it's very clear God has power over the waters of the world. This world is, I think, 90% of the surface is water. So there's an awful lot of water that could destroy. We know at the time of Noah, a flood destroyed the people on earth at that time. And of course, God put his rainbow in the cloud to say, I'll never do that again. And we've had occasional flooding spot here and there, but never on a worldwide scale. Because he said he'd never do it again. Power over the waters. If you go back to the very beginning of the book of Genesis, at the beginning it's described as there was this chaotic waters over which the Spirit was hovering. And then the 7 days of creation came about, God bringing this immense order out of utter chaos of the waters, showing once again his power over the waters. And we even read about it in the first reading. He said to the waters, this far, no further, to give us the lands. He set up those boundaries. We find his power over the water at the time of the Exodus event, the Red Sea. He told Moses, split the Red Sea, and the waters pulled back. Israelites went through the middle on the base of the Dead Sea, free from the water, and then the waters came back on the Egyptians and destroyed them. That's power over the waters. Now, the waters also not only are material waters, but they're also a symbol in the Old Testament for a man or a woman in sin. If you could imagine yourself, for example, being in the Colorado Rapids, going down these big, huge, rocky mountains with these waters just coming down those mountains at a breakneck speed without any kind of flotation device. The waters are running so hard and fast because they're eventually coming to a cliff that will pour over and you'll have this massive waterfall. And let's say you plop down in the middle of those rapids. You don't have a whole lot of control. In fact, you're out of control. It's chaos. You can't get your footing. You can't resist the waters. And after a while, you get so tired from fighting, you give up. And eventually, you go right over the falls to your death. That's an image of sin. Guess what? God has power over the waters and the chaos of sin in the Old Testament. Now, we come to the New Testament, and what do we find? Jesus walking on the water? Who does that? And then we see today, Jesus woke up, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, quiet, be still. It got quiet. Who is this? It's the God of the Old Testament come in the flesh. The same power over the waters, Jesus manifests it. But we also have this image of sin being in the chaos of the waters when we go into sin. We can be in that chaos. We've known people that maybe have been taken in by the chaos. We can think of people that perhaps become so enslaved they might even be addicted to the point where they're literally not able to organize one day of their life sufficiently that it has purpose. When you're in the chaotic waters, you're left to the powers of the waters. You have no power over where you're going. The waters are determining that. You're being thrown here and there and here and there. How do you get purpose in your life? How do you get direction? And I'm saying it right now, when we go to the confessional, that's the God who has power over the waters, lifting us up out of the chaos of our sin and plopping us right back down on the rock of Peter's faith. And Peter's faith declares, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now we get footing. And with that footing, I can have purpose. I can pursue the goal of my life instead of becoming lost and at the disposal of the power of chaos, of sin, and the mighty rapids of the Colorado River. We're not meant for that. That's a wandering life. Now, there is some chaos in our lives. I don't think we can do away with it totally. I'm guessing parents, I would say having children, could get a little chaotic sometimes. How are you going to maintain purpose in the midst of family life and the pursuit of the goals of what you want for your children? How are you going to be able to do that if your own life is chaos? It gets difficult. I know, for example, in my own life, growing up in a family, I think I've said this to you before, where my parents were alcoholics. There was some neglect in the family that resulted from that. I'm not sure how free my parents were. I don't think they really ever wanted to neglect us. I really don't believe that. But there were times when it happened. And for all of us, what is your goal in life? What are you aiming to do? Fortunately for both my parents, they did finally get their footing again, because they never did fully abandon the Catholic faith, and I'm grateful for that. I'm a priest today because of that. They gave me the faith, and I love them both dearly for giving me that. It's the path to freedom. It's the path to having purpose, goal, and aim. But it's not always easy, is it, to maintain that? We have a lot of things that can kind of slam on us, sometimes even broadside us and get us off track. And Jesus helps us get back. Get back. What are the good things in your life you wish to accomplish? And you know, I know that a lot of maybe our younger people today might want to think that by going a really safe path with no risks, they'll be able to accomplish their goals in life. And I don't know. I mean, life isn't always easy, and most of the good things in life, you got to pay down a pound of flesh to pursue them if you're going to accomplish them. You really do need to step out and take a risk. And I'm telling you right now, there's no better person to take risks with than Jesus Christ in your life. Because even if you are broadsided, he can pull you back. What have you to fear? Nothing. Nothing. And so today's gospel, I think, is inviting us back to faith. Who is this? Is he just a man? For a lot of people, yes. But for a lot of people, he's also a party pooper. He ruins my fun. I'm having too much fun. And what if your fun is capital sin that leads you into the chaotic waters that lead you nowhere? Then what? When do we stop the fun and turn to Jesus and let him take that chaos out of our lives, and we grow up and start to mature in the purpose of life, in pursuit of the good things we want and wish for and hope for and really can attain with the help of Jesus? And I'll just conclude with this, because, you know, life, as I say, can be difficult enough without having to actually willfully pursue chaos. And one of the ways today, I don't know if you've come across this, I'm guessing most of you have, because it's on the rise. A lot of people today have begun to practice a kind of neo-paganism, where they've abandoned Christ. He's no fun. I want to pursue this other direction. And neo-paganism gets you into the false gods, all of which are talked about in the Bible, whose provider is the dark side, Satan, the devils. I'm talking about palm readers, psychic readers. I'm talking about Ouija boards. I've known of Catholic parents that have bought their kids Ouija boards for Christmas. It's just entertainment. And we don't take it seriously. I can guarantee you, Satan does, no matter how you take it. He takes it very seriously, because he's after your kids. He's after you. And I can guarantee you, he's also after me. But we don't want to go toward him. When you go at this stuff, palm readers, psychic readers, New Age crystals, where you channel the energies of the cosmos through these crystals and get this power and control. You're going to the dark side, standing on the doorstep of darkness, and you're yelling into the door, "Is there anyone here who will help me?" I guarantee you they'll show up eventually and take you down the path of the Colorado Rapids. Rapidly. I've seen it happen in 44 years so many times. Lives ruined. Because people have run to the chaos, and that's one of the ways to do it. Stay away. You have no benefit in abandoning Christ whatsoever. None. He's the only path to the freedom we can enjoy to pursue the good things in life we wish to maintain. And anything worth doing is also worth doing badly. So let's get up again. Don't be despondent. Christ loves you. He loves me. Let's get back on that road again in the mercy of Christ, who comes to free us to partake of the good things in life that without him we cannot maintain.